Well, welcome, my friends. Welcome to another radio broadcast from Battle Site for Christ. That's my call letters, Battle Site for Christ. Yeah, you can tune in there anytime you want, and you'll see hundreds of messages on there that the Lord has laid on my heart. And if you don't find one there that meets your needs, then, well, you better listen to it again. No, I'm not getting pushy here. Now, I'm just saying, you know, God lays certain things upon certain people's hearts, you know. You might say, well, I don't feel that way. I don't feel God's laid anything on my heart. Well, I pray if you listen to this message today, you might have a change of heart. You see, that might be all you need, is a change of heart. I call my message today, The Walk. The Walk. Will you stay with me? Jesus, dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because I knew what I had to do. I had to forget self. I had to do away with pride. I had to do away with the things of this life and give them all to you and put you first. And I thank you for showing me the way to the cross. Thank you in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Welcome, 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 my friends, to another Battle Site for Christ broadcast. Oh, from the studios of the Just Jesus Network in beautiful South Carolina. Must get down there sometime. God will allow me to. It's been a long, cold, cold winter here in Canada. But now the season has changed, and we are in the spring of life, the springtime of life. Wow! God sure is good. You know, them cold winter nights, they still leave their chilblains in me. But you know what? We've got a long summer ahead of us. And you know what's going to make it special? Believing in Jesus Christ. As always. You see, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do, I talk to God and I thank Him for Jesus Christ. You know, and that starts my day off just real fine indeed. And I'm so happy that Jesus is there, that Jesus did what He did. Because if I'd have been the only sinner on the face of the earth, He would have done this for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God is so good. God is so good. Oh, enough said about that. Now it's time to get down to the business of what God has placed on my heart. Yes, it is. Today, that is. Hey, I call my message, like I say, The Walk. The Walk. I didn't say the talk. I said the walk. Walk the walk, talk the talk, okay? The walk. You know, someone once said to me, you have to crawl before you can walk. Well, that makes sense. I mean, babies can't walk. They have to crawl first. Then they grab onto a little piece of furniture, a corner here, maybe a corner of the bed or something, or somebody's hand. And then before you know it, they're walking. But they're falling, too. When they first learn to walk, they fall. You know, that's kind of like a Christian, isn't it? A new Christian. Huh? Isn't it? I know it was with me. When I first became a Christian, well, I started walking right away. I was full of Jesus. Oh, how I loved Him. Greatest thing ever happened in my life. So I started walking for Jesus. But you know something? There were times early on in my salvation that my legs got a little bit weak. My heart wasn't as strong as it had been at the beginning. My thoughts weren't as pure as they should be for a saint of God. And you know what? I started falling away a little bit. I started, you know, backing off, thinking maybe I had it made, that I believed in Christ and that was all there was to it. I didn't have to do anything more except try to live a good life. Well, you know, you can't live a good life unless Christ is in it. Oh, you may think you, because the neighbor says there's a fine man lives next door. He's a real godly man. Oh, that's all well and good. But what's it like in the eyes of God? Are you really? See, God knows the heart. He looks on the heart. You know, before you can walk, you have to be able to stand. Can you stand? Can you stand right now? Excuse me. Can you stand right now and look at that cruel cross where Christ died? Can you see the blood stain still on the cross? Can you? Can you feel His pain when He suffered and bled and died for your sins and my sins and the sins of all the world? Can you? Oh, you know, I'm not saying that you have to do this right away. I'm just saying that you have to repent. You have to turn from that old lifestyle you've been living. You might say, I got no old lifestyle. I'm too young to have an old lifestyle. I haven't had a lifestyle at all yet. Well, that's good for you. Because you don't have a whole lot you have to turn from. But you have a whole lot you have to turn to. And that's Jesus on the cross. Because He went to the cross to suffer and bleed and die for the sin of the whole world. And you are a part of that sin, whether you like to think so or not. Whether you like to think so or not. Yes, you have to crawl before you can walk. In spiritual terms, this means we have to get to know Jesus before we can walk with Him. Right? Sure you do. I recall an old hit song out of the 50s called "To Know Him Is to Love Him." You know, that was a song I heard on the radio, and it was a hit way back in the 50s. And it was one of my favorites, you know, but that's pretty much it says. That's all it says. To know Him is to love Him. But you know that saying, those words in that song, although it wasn't a spiritual song as such, those words kept coming back to me. And it's so true. That's the way it is with Jesus. To know Him is to love Him. Oh, yes. That's the way it is, folks. Do you think you know Jesus without loving Him? Do you think you heard enough from the preacher and that's all you need? No, you got to have a personal relationship with God. Because you know every drop of blood He shed at Calvary was a personal relationship with you, with the world that He had died for. Yes, it was. You know, this was my introduction to Jesus the Christ. You can hear all you want about Jesus. And that's all well and good. I pray you do. But until you surrender fully to His Godship, you're simply just another sinner, not saved by God's grace. Not, I got that? Not saved. Yet, anyway, by God's grace. It may sound funny when you hear it, even strange, but the true connecting force between God and man, what is it? It's grace. Grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. God's redemption at Christ's expense. That spells out grace, doesn't it? Tell me, if you were to die today, and I'm not asking and praying that you would die today or anything like that there. I'm praying that you get saved, though, if you're not saved, or you make sure if you're not sure. But if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Where? Do you know? Well, there are only two places. You might say three, okay? If there's two, there's got to be three, right? Okay, one of them, we know for sure, is in the grave, right? But that's just that old body. And the other one, there's another one that's in hell. That's where the devil lives. And it's eternal punishment if you go there. And the other place is in the presence of God Almighty because of what Jesus did at Calvary. And that's the place we all want to go. Don't say you don't. It doesn't matter to you. You don't believe the others. Well, you think what you want to think. But in the end, the truth will make you aware. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. The judgment. Wow. You know what a judgment is? Well, if you've ever been in court, you know what what the judge hands down a judgment, right? Oh, yeah. Well, you're not talking about a court on this earth. You're talking about the court of Jesus Christ. After this, the judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die. And that's women too, of course. But after this, the judgment. And since death is a given, it is, death is a given, we must all prepare to meet God. Right? We must all prepare to meet God. I say prepare now. Prepare, because where we go is eternal. Where we are going is eternal. There is no waiting room. I like going to the doctor. There is no purgatory for you Catholics out there, which I used to be a long time ago. And there is no coming back. You can't go to heaven and say, well, maybe I won't like it there, then I can come back home again. Nope. He's dead. You can't come back. No. You won't want to come back, I assure you that. You won't want to come back. All that remains this side of heaven is eternal hellfire, where the worm and soul dieth not. The worm, of course, is your mind, your brain. A lot of people say, my brain ain't no worm. Well, I beg to differ. It's referred to as the worm, your mind, your thoughts. Okay? Does that offend you? Well, sorry about that, but that's the way it is. The worm, of course, is the mind, and the soul is the seat of your being. The seat of your being. This might sound cruel, however, God's word is clear. Ephesians 2 tells us that we are, by nature, the children of wrath. And you can blame Adam for that. He's the one who introduced sin into the whole world. And because of sin, death would follow. Death would follow. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. Who can know it? And because we are all sinners, we are all destined for hell for all eternity because of our sin. Romans 6:23 makes it clear that the wages of sin is death. Got that? The wages of sin is death. We're talking spiritual death here now. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves from such a death. There's nothing that we can do. You cannot be saved. Listen carefully. You cannot be saved by keeping the law or joining a church and being baptized. That will not save you. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No flesh be justified. Have you ever wondered why God made such a rule? Why put it in His book? Could it be because in His omniscience, God had already set His sight or sights on Calvary? He knew Calvary would have to be in the future. He knew it. Is this not why Christ was born? Huh? Is it? Of course, that's why Christ was born. He was born to die. Because there was no other way we could get into heaven's glory except by the shed blood, the cleansing power of Jesus Christ. No other way. For the sin of the entire world, God knew He would have to send forth a Redeemer. And since God the Father was the ultimate power, He chose His only begotten Son, born of a virgin, to be the Redeemer of mankind. The Redeemer. Romans 3, verses 24 and 25. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now you can go to Romans 3, 24 and 25. Read that for yourself. Read it over and over again. It's very important. Okay? And if we scoot over to 1 John 4, verse 10, John writes, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins." Sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die for our sins on that cruel cross. We are all born, whether you want to accept this or not, we are all born with an inherited sinful nature. Because somewhere along your line, your lineage, sin entered in and passed on to the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. We are all born with an inherited sinful nature, a nature that produces all kinds of evil deeds. For out of the hearts of men comes forth evil thoughts, wickedness, blasphemy, pride, deceitfulness, and so on. It's quite a list, isn't it? Out of the hearts of men. Of course, that means out of the hearts of women, too. In order for us to walk with God, we must admit to our sinful frailties and get them under the blood. Did you hear that? I want to say that one more time. In order for us to walk with God, we must admit to our sinful frailties and get them under the blood of Jesus Christ, of course. There is absolutely no recourse with God. None. It's the cross or it's a loss. Have you got that? It's the cross or it's a loss. Unless you submit your sinfulness to God through Jesus Christ, there is no hope of a heavenly home. None. None. No hope whatsoever. Romans 6:23 is very clear. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's right. The wages of sin is death. The church won't save you. The church can't save you. God, good works won't save you. Neither will socially clean living save you. It won't. It's good that you do these things, but they will not save your soul. The good news is that in spite of our sins, God still loves us. God loves us, and He's not willing that any should perish. Think for a moment, if you will. If God the Father did not love us, then why would He set forth His only begotten Son to suffer and die for the sin of the whole world? Why? Why? Can you answer that? Why? Because He so loved the world. Because He so loved the world. That's why. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That includes you and me and everyone else. some of whom I have witnessed to over the years, have asked a very simple question. A question which has plagued mankind throughout all the ages. Are you ready for this? If God is who He says He is, and created all flesh and everything we see, not only upon the earth and in the heavens above, but even our very soul, then pray tell, why? Why would He not make His creation perfect? Perfect, without sin. So perfect, it wouldn't respond. Oh, then why? Why couldn't everything, including mankind, answer so that the redemption factor would have no need? Christ would not have had to go to the cross. If we were all perfect from birth, without sin, when sin entered into the world, everyone became infected. What is sin, you say? Why is sin a factor, you ask? Why do we have evil and impure thoughts? Why do we hate and kill and steal? Why? If we were made perfect at the outset, so perfect we could have no desire to do the things we do, like lie and cheat and steal and kill and covet, and most of all, deny our Maker? Why? Why? Okay. Okay, let's talk about it, okay? Firstly, let's go basic. Firstly, who is God? The scriptures tell us that God is the creator of heaven and earth. Everything that is, was, and ever shall be, and everything that is made. Genesis 1:1 then went on to explain His creation, how it was made. He talked it into existence. Let there be light. Okay? Yes. Let the stars be in the heaven. Oh, yes. He talked everything into existence. Tell me, have you ever thought about that small garden you plant and replant every spring outside your window? How it replenishes itself, even without your intervention, but only to its full potential, if you weed and nourish the soil from which it springs. Kind of like the little church in the wildwood, huh? Like the little church in the wildwood. Are we not like that which God hath sown or planted? Huh? Think for a moment. If you do not replant your garden and re-nourish it regularly, then it will be overwhelmed by the weeds that choke it, like we are overwhelmed by the sin that chokes us. I ask you, is not the first planting or birth of mankind the worth of God's handiwork? The point is, when God made us, He did so with a supreme purpose: to brighten and feed and nurture not only His creation around us, but more importantly, to glorify Him. To glorify Him. Think on these things. think on these things. See the new grass outside your door that is born anew every spring. Then take a walk through the fields and be amazed at God's handiwork. The lilies, the dandelions, the brooks run through the forest. Then when you open His holy book, consider this, how much more He wants us to be amazed about Him and what He has done for us, what He has provided for us. The next time bad comes to worse in your life, consider your walk. Has God got your hand? Are you still in control? Are you giving it over to God every day? Are you praying without ceasing? Has God got your hand? Does Jesus have your heart? My friends, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for listening every week to my broadcast here on the Just Jesus Network. And I ask that you'd visit my website, Battlesite for Christ, tillycomes.net. There are hundreds of sermons there that God has blessed me with, permitted me to voice and put on that site to His glorification. I want to thank you. Please, if you need to change your life today because there's something that you're just not sure about, may I suggest you pray. Pray. Pray without ceasing. Then walk. Walk the walk that God wants you to walk. You're a new vessel. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.